Today is Tuesday, October the 20th, 1980. This is Connie Reen interviewing Ralph, better known as Blackie Shearhart, at the Castroville Public Library. I'm interviewing for the Oral History Project B, and we're interviewing at the library. Ralph is my father, so I will be addressing him during this interview as Dad. Before we go into the topics on Alsatian customs and traditions, I'd like to have a little family background. When and where were you born, Dave?
I was born here in Castroville on Friday the 13th, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 1908.
And who were your parents?
Ed A. Shearhart and Cecilia Heaser.
And how big of a family did you have? How many children were in your
family? We were only three in our family. I was the oldest one and had two sisters.
Okay.
Cecilia and Helen.
Okay, what was your father's occupation when you were growing up?
He was a blacksmith and wheelwright.
Blacksmith. Where did he learn his trade?
In Queen, from Mr. Schrader. He went to Queen when he was 18 years old and worked 9 months with him out there without pay.
Okay, did he have any other occupations besides that?
No, later on, farmer. He was always a farmer.
Oh, that was just the extra on the side?
Well, he did, when he was blacksmith, that's all he did for 25 years.
Okay. At that time, when he was a blacksmith, was that when they didn't have any cars here, or what?
No, they didn't have no cars. He was a wheelwright. That was the mechanic to keep you going those days.
Were there a lot of blacksmiths in Castroville at that time?
There were two. Oh. And he always had somebody working with him. But the blacksmith, he did the shoeing of the horses, and the wheelwright part, that keep the buggies and the wagons and the plows and things going.
Oh, okay. One of the strongest traces of the Alsatian culture that we have here in Castroville that has remained is the dialect. And you have been busy for about 2 years writing a dictionary with the Alsatian dialect, English and Alsatian. And you're getting ready to publish it. How did you come to have such a strong knowledge of the language? When you were little, did your parents speak at home?
When I was little, we only spoke Alsatian. My parents never spoke English at home.
Never spoke English?
No. My grandma and my grandpa Heaser, who were lived close by us, they couldn't speak English at all.
So did your parents speak English?
Yes. My mother could speak pretty good English. My dad, not so good.
Well, when
but
you
later
went to
on, he could speak, learn a little better. But when my mother learned her English when she worked as a maid in Del Rio, where she had to speak only English, and that's where she learned to speak English.
Oh, this is before she was married?
Before she was married.
Okay, well, when did you learn English?
When I started school. I started school with a first reader in German and a first reader in English.
Oh, and you had a bilingual education?
Yeah. The German came easy because we could all speak only Alsatian. English.
Oh, so the German was easy to learn, huh? So you had a bilingual education then, huh?
4 years till World War One, and World War One, when we entered World War One, German books were taken away from us. We only had about 3.5 years of German.
Of German. Okay, but they used the German longer here in town in other places, I mean in other things in school.
Oh, they never stopped speaking Alsatian. Uh-huh. We spoke Alsatian all the time.
Like on the school grounds and everything?
Oh, yeah. Kids all spoke Alsatian.
And what about in church? Did they use the German?
German was preached, and we prayed in German, and the sermons were all in German.
You didn't stop this with World War One in church?
No, we didn't stop, because as long as Father Heckman was here, he couldn't speak too well in English. He spoke most in Alsatian.
Oh, he spoke in
Alsatian? No, in German.
Okay, did
but
he ever...
But he was from Alsace.
Yeah, he was Alsatian. I'm looking at your family tree here, and every branch of your family is from Alsace, or that, and the Mulhouse area of Alsace, which means that your family is true Alsatian. When you think back, when you were growing up, when you were little, do you think of your mother as being traditional in Alsatian customs? I mean, did she do everything that was handed down from her grandmother and mother?
Oh, yeah, she had mostly, but
Like in her cooking, what do you remember about her cooking?
Well, we made the same things everybody else did. We killed 3 hogs a year. She had
a
garden.
Was there a certain time for killing hogs?
Oh, yeah, in the wintertime only is the only time you could kill a hog.
But Alsatians eat a lot of pork now, don't they, still in Alsace?
In Alsace, they eat more pork than they do beef.
Well, do you
but
think
it's the climate. It's the climate there. We would eat it here, too, if we had to. But we're living in a different climate. Alsace is in a cold climate. Therefore, they eat more pork.
Do you think the Alsatians brought pork to this area?
No, I don't think so. But they naturally, that's a custom all over the world, pork, I think.
Well,
but we make the same, when I went to Alsace, we make the same things from when we kill a hog as they do over there, yes.
Okay, what are some of the things you make?
We made, when we killed a hog, we made head cheese, we made blood sausage, which they call kugler, we made bacon, we made sausage, and souse, which we call galdry. We never had no English word
for
it.
What is that, galdry?
Galdry, it's made from the tail and the ears and the feet, and it's kind of a jelly-like process put on it.
What, do you soak it in something?
No, it's kind of a sour, and it's real good eating.
And it's the pig's feet, in
other
words.
Pig's feet and the ears and the tail. Uh-huh. Nothing wasted when you kill a hog.
Okay, do you think this habit of not wasting any part of that hog, and we've heard this from several other people on tape, do you think that is an Alsatian trait, or do you think this is just because the people were
here? No, they did that everywhere. I imagine everybody does that. But they did that in the old, they still do it over there today.
Oh, they do?
And they made, we made in, from the, they made what they called, from the tenderloin. They would soak that overnight in vinegar, and then they made the pastada pie.
Okay, pastada.
Pastada, that was one of the delicacies. Now they, we went over to France and they make pastada out of any kind of pork meat, but we only made it out of the tenderloin.
Well, it seems strange that you would use the tenderloin in a pie.
Well, it's a delicacy. That was something special when they killed and had
pastada. So pastada was special?
Oh, that was something special.
Okay, when did your mother fix pastada?
Oh, a day or two after we killed.
Okay, was it for Christmas maybe?
No, made it every time we killed.
Every time? Okay, when you think about Christmas when you were a little boy, or when you had your sisters too, what did your mother do for Christmas?
Well, we had a Christmas tree. Dad would go up in the hills and cut a cedar tree and bring it home, and we'd have a Christmas tree. And
but how did she get ready ahead of time? Did you watch her do it, or did
No, she baked she baked the cookies and things ahead of time, and she always had cookies that she made with a little kind of a decorative things on the cookie that she hung on the tree that would glisten when the light would hit.
Oh, little colored sugar or something?
No, cookies with a spring of some kind of a, like a silver stuff on it. And it behind that.
Okay, did she let the children watch her do this, or did she do it in secret? Everything a surprise to you?
She did that, I think, the night before, because we never did help make the Christmas tree like we do now.
You never did make the Christmas tree? Well, how did she do this?
Well, Dad would fix it in a bucket or something, and she would trim the tree with a little candle that she put down there, and at night she'd light the candle.
But when did you see it for the first time?
On Christmas Eve.
Okay, so she kept it hidden till then?
No, I can't quite remember how. I think she just fixed it the day before.
Yeah. Well, I remember when we were little, you would put it in a room, and you decorated it, you and Mother, and we didn't see it until Christmas Eve. You did that to us when we were little.
I guess we didn't see it either, I don't think, until Christmas Eve. Same way at Easter, the Easter nest.
What?
She would put them outside. We fixed our nests, and one morning I got up at 5, and I'd come around one part of the house, and Jesus come around the other with the eggs. And that day we never got nothing in our nest.
You never got anything in your nest?
No,
So you were trying to beat the Easter Bunny. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, getting back to Christmas, what were some of the old-time cookies or the things she made at Christmas that you remember?
Well, she made those special cookies
with the icing.
With the icing, that, and she dropped little round silver-like things in it.
Yeah.
And that would shine. And we'd always have a cake, and we'd have a turkey.
Oh, you would have turkey?
Oh, yeah, we'd have turkey on Christmas. We'd have turkey. And we'd go to out in the country and buy one, usually from the farms up here.
And she cooked this in a wood stove, I guess.
Oh, yeah, everything is cooked in wood stove. Mm-hmm.
Well, what other things did she make at Christmas? I know she had some other specialties that she made. Well, what, you mentioned a cake. What kind of cake?
Oh.
Just an ordinary cake.
Oh. Potato cake.
Well, did she make fruit cake? Was that a...
Oh, yeah. She made fruit cake, yeah.
Okay. When you'd get together with your family, like, was it just your immediate family, or would you go to your grandparents?
No, the grandparents would always come to us. We had... Every Sunday, we had people here for dinner.
Your mother? Oh. So your mother was considered a good cook when...
Well, she was a good cook, and she had to cook, because every Sunday, people would come to church, and they'd always eat dinner there, and we always had a big pot of soup. That was the first thing you ate, the soup.
Oh, the grandparents lived out of town?
No, they lived on the farm.
This is Louis Shearhart.
Louis Shearhart.
Louisa. Okay. So they'd come to your house and eat, and soup would be the first course?
First course, always a big pot of soup. Mm-hmm. And we had, that soup was every day. My daddy always had soup for dinner, first course.
Oh, she cooked it every day?
Every day.
Okay. Any other cookies besides those that you remember?
Oh, she had different kinds of oatmeal cookies and marguerites, and especially was seafoam candy. It was real good.
Okay, seafoam candy. What type of candy is that? Just what
That's
type?
Like, it's almost like divinity.
Divinity, yeah. I remember that when I was little, that she always had that hidden away, and we'd run out of sweets, she'd go and get another candy.
And pies, always had pies, always had pies.
Of course, now pies were not from Alsace. They don't make pies like we do.
Yes, they do. They make, but they don't make them as good as we do, I don't think. Mm-hmm. They don't make them sweet. Everything Alsace cake, cookies, stuff is not sweet. They don't like our sweet cakes.
Oh, they don't have them as sweet?
No. Hmm. No icing like we had. Well, then right after Christmas, then they started baking for New Year's, and we had a special New Year cake we baked. They call it Mayorweka, which is New Year bun kind. It's kind of a twisted dough, and it's more like a coffee cake. And every, you'd go to your godfather and your godmothers, and each one would get one of those cakes from the godfather and godmother on New Year's Day, and they'd come to our house, whoever was their godchild, they'd give him one to.
Uh-huh. So the New Year's bread.
New Year's bread, yeah.
Was it was traditional to get it from your godparents.
Godparents, that was, and had some at home too.
Did you have any other special relationship with your godparents?
No, that was about all. And well, and you'd always get a more of a. You could get nickels and dimes from your godparents during the year.
Okay, did you call them any special names?
Feather and Goda.
Feather and Goda.
Yeah.
And Feather and Goda mean?
Goda means godmother, and Feather means
godfather. Okay. Well, did you, and so you called them that?
Yeah.
I know I called my godmother that too. Okay. Now, when you think about the Alsatian cousins, as you got older, did you think about that your customs were different than people you met in other towns, for instance? Did you notice?
In those days, you didn't go to many other towns. We were, as far as we traveled, was Lacoste, maybe. We didn't. I didn't go to Honda two times in my life until I was grown.
Till you were grown.
Nobody went anywhere. You didn't have the transportation. You had a buggy. My dad went to San Antonio twice a year with his buggy to pay his bill at the hardware company where he bought his materials.
Well, how did he get those materials?
Well, he'd order them. by letter. He'd send a letter in to the Heisinger Hardware Company, and they'd send him his coal and his iron for 6 months.
By train?
No, by wagon.
By wagon.
Wagon from all the freight from San Antonio here. And then every 6 months he'd go to San Antonio.
Go along?
I went along a couple of times. It would take all day, leave early in the morning and drive to San Antonio in the buggy, and then pay the bills and order some more things that you needed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were born in 1908.
Yes.
So how many years of schooling did you have? Just tell me briefly what your education was.
I went to school 11 years.
Okay, but how many years at the first school, which is the sister school?
Nine and two more in the public. Two more in the public.
Okay. So they did have a high school here then?
This was a high school. We had three teachers, and took care of all the children, the grammar grades and the high school. There was seven in what they called the high school, but we had no facilities. The only two books in the library was Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer. That was the only two books.
Okay. But then did you have any other education outside of high school?
Well, I went to Brown's Business College for about 5 months, I think.
And that
was
in?
I didn't like it, so I came home.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No.
But you lived in San Antonio at that time?
I lived in San Antonio with my aunt that time. And I came home and went to work for a Courant company.
Okay, so your aunt was from Castroville originally, huh? That was Melanie Heaton. But now, when you met there at the business college, you probably met people that were not from Castroville.
Yeah.
Okay, did you notice your background then?
Oh, yes. Everybody commented on my accent because my accent was pretty bad then.
How did they treat the accent, and how did they treat you?
Oh, they treat me all right. They just...
Did they laugh at you, though?
Oh, some did, but not too many. And, I played hooks in school a lot there. I'd go down to the Grand Theater and watch the shows. Then days you'd go sit in for 10 cents all afternoon on Alamo Plaza and play pool, two games for a nickel down in the basin around Alamo Plaza.
Now, if your daddy would have known this, what would he have done?
Oh, he'd have got me home in 5 minutes.
Well, I didn't know that you goofed off. Okay, now, when you were growing up in Castroville, there are some people here, most people are Alsatians, but we do have some German families. Did you notice that their customs were different, like, say, at Christmas or so forth, than your families or the Alsatian families?
No, them days. All the German people here were losing, and the way the culture those days, the way we were brought up, our religions really conflicted too much, and it's not like today. We were all together.
You didn't mingle with them?
We didn't mingle with the children because we went to the parochial school and they went to the public school, and that way we didn't get together much, but German people were all seemed like harder working people, and they were all very good people and strict people.
More serious, oh yeah. Okay, the Alsatians here in Castroville have always been noted. Everybody comes here, they love to come here for parties and dances. It seems like we've always had a reputation.
Well, yeah, they're more happy-go-lucky than Alsatians, see?
They liked to have a good time.
They had the parties at the farms, wherever they were. Everybody could play a fiddle and some guitar, and they'd always have some kind of music, and they had a lot of dances. They call them surprise parties.
When do you think those surprise parties started? Was that always as long as you remember?
As long as I remember, there were surprise parties. They had them way back then when they didn't have no dance halls, I guess. They built the house and they dance, and they usually last all night for a nigger. As long as we get somebody to play music.
When did they usually have a surprise party? What was the occasion?
Well, just make it up and get together and go to somebody's home.
Wasn't a special occasion, no. Like an anniversary or a birthday?
No, not that I know. They just made them up.
They just made them, in other words, to get together.
Get together, yeah.
So they always like to get together and dance. And okay, you mentioned fiddles and stuff. Did a lot of people play music around
here? Oh, yeah, a lot of people play music. Albert Mann played the fiddle, and we just titsy. He had a kerosene lantern he put on the lawn, and we'd go over there, and he'd play. And every week we'd go once or twice and sit on the lawn, and he'd play his violin.
Oh, did he also play then for parties?
No, he... Well, he years before that, before he was, way before that, he played at parties. But then when I started going to surprise parties, they had fiddle, younger people playing them. Mm-hmm.
Was music always part of your life, in other words?
Well, that's all we had, is dancing. We danced. That's our only entertainment we had. Now, every Sunday there was a band.
You mean in one of the halls?
In one of the halls, or during the week, you had surprise parties.
Mm-hmm. Oh, during the week, though.
Oh, you're surprised, but always during the week, yeah.
Well, one of the interviews told me that the mother said they were going to dances just too much. There was a dance every night. They were always on the road. The kids, they were, the old people, you know.
Yeah.
Would,
and when I was a little boy, the dances were I don't know, they were real entertaining. They people would go. I know I'd go to dance and I'd be laying under the benches sleeping when my dad and mama would be dancing. And for 50 cents, you could go to a dance when I was a little boy, real little. And 50 cents a person at 12 o'clock, you'd be served a big meal. Everybody.
What if that meal, what did they used to have?
They served family style, all you could eat. They had
roast. What kinds of roast?
Oh, they had everything was cooked. Roast and potatoes and all this lettuce. We even had homegrown lettuce. And real good meal they served. With pies, always had pies to be served. And that was everything for 50 cents a person.
Okay, talking about food again. We eat something here at parties now, and nobody seems to remember when that started, or did we always have it? This is Parisa.
Yeah, my grandpa, I remember he made.
You remember your grandpa?
Oh, yeah, Grandpa Sherwood. He always made parisa.
So that is an Alsatian food, then?
Yeah, I don't know where they got it from, but they made it. Now, it seems to me like over in France, Alsace, they don't make that like we do. They, for some reason, they make something like it, but they put raw eggs in it.
Yeah, well, that's called steak tartare.
But I don't know.
Or steak tartare or something. Well, when your grandpa made it, what type of cheese did he use with that? Explain what parisa is.
Parisa is raw ground meat with the fat trimmed off, absolutely no fat on it, and this longhorn cheese and onions, that's all, and
salt and pepper.
Salt and pepper. For your taste, some put a little lemon juice on it.
But you
could always buy that yellow cheese.
Okay. Did most people eat it in the old days?
Oh, yeah. And it had a little party or something. It had parisa with beer.
Okay.
Always a little barrel of beer. We never had bottled beer hardly. Very seldom we drank bottled.
Well, the barrel beers, was that made here in Canada?
No, that came from.
Oh, from a brewery in San Antonio.
Same brewery, Lone Stone Brewery.
Uh-huh. You don't remember when they made beer here in Canada?
No,
that was before your time.
Before my time. That's where when my grandpa first came over here from Wisconsin.
Your grandpa was a brewer?
He was the brewmaster for the Kiefer.
For the Kiefer what?
For the Kiefer family that had the brewery.
Oh, okay, and that was?
That was in the old...
Wernette's?
Yeah, Wernette's. Well, it was the Kiefer building first, and then Wernette's called it later on. But down in the basement where they made the beer, where the school building.
Yeah. Well, that basement is still there. It's real cleaned out. Okay, when you were growing up, you went to the parochial school, which was St. Louis.
Yeah.
And we've always had a school here since the Sisters of Divine Providence came in 1868, and they founded their order in Castroville. So our town has always had the influence of those sisters. Do you think that most of your education came from those sisters?
Or? Oh, yeah.
Right.
9 years with them.
Do you think that the church had a lot of influence on family life?
Yes, you had strictly, because you were brought up, in church. Every day you had to go to church, and school, you got 30 minutes religious instruction every day. And you had catechism, and you were really...
Okay, one of the boys, Sonny Mann, mentioned that the boys always were mass servers, and the older boys would teach the younger boys.
Yeah, that's where I started serving, and my teacher was Clarence Holzhauer. And we've had a praying Latin, and the confidence, we just grumbled a while, said, confidence, Dame, only then you can remember and go on, and didn't know what you're saying. But Father Heckman would take us to the rectory once a week, and he would teach us the prayers in Latin to where we finally could say them pretty good.
Oh, okay.
But so, most of the time when the confidence, we never did say, we just grumbled. Father Heckman grumbled.
Grumbled. Well, did you teach other boys?
Yeah, later on. I served Mass for 9 years. And you always have to serve for 2 years or so, then you would take next coming up.
You said Father Heckman was Alsatian. Did he fit right in here? Were his, did you think the Alsatian culture was stronger while he was here than later or before?
Oh, I don't know. I think it was the same whether he had been here or not. But he fitted in here pretty good. He was often strict. A lot of the older people, some of them didn't like him, because he told it how it was. And he was a very strict man, and he was a real religious man. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we had a nun that came from there, and Sister Marcella, who was doubly strict.
Well, was she Alsatian?
No, I believe she came from Germany, because she was like an army general. You had a march, double file, the boys and the girls behind, and you had a genuflect at the command, and go in the pew at her command, and kneel down at her command. And
well, how long did she teach in Castle?
I don't know if she taught, because as long as I was here, she taught here. She taught me. I was in her room for 5 years, I think.
She had the big school, huh?
Well, she taught up to the 8th grade, yeah. Uh-huh. And then the 9th grade, had another nun that came out here. I think she brought her. She's a little sick.
Where did the nuns live at that time that taught you?
In the house that Dr. Sharp lives in now.
Okay, what was the reason they didn't live in the convent that would be the building?
It was occupied by the what was this order in San Antonio?
The Oblates?
The Oblates were there, and then one time when they had the revolution in Mexico, a Salesian Mexican priest came.